Warning, the opinions and advice you are about to hear on the Above My Pay Grade podcast are presented to you by two complete morons. If you follow them and ruin your career, that's on you. Please seek real advice from people you trust. Seriously, don't be an idiot. The Above My Pay Grade podcast starts now.
Oh, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
We're back again. And guys, I just wanted to take a quick second to say hello to everybody listening to us on Amazon Music podcast.
Big day.
Right?
Big day. Love it.
We're getting a little feature today, Jimmy. We're special.
That's what our parents say.
No, they don't.
And our friends, actually, no. too. No, but they mean it differently.
You're not special at all.
No.
But Dad, no. You're missing the point.
Yeah.
Nothing is special about you. Nothing.
Our friends say it to us, but they mean it in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
A hurtful way.
So hurtful.
We are going to be interviewing special guests today, too, as well.
Oh, yeah. So. We're going to be joined by Jay and Cheyenne of the band Hillbilly Parade, so we definitely look forward to talking
about it. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah. I like doing the interviews, you?
Yeah, you get to know people, you laugh a little,
you
find a little
new
more
friend.
About them. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Follow, subscribe, all that. Do that on Amazon Music. So go to abovemypaygradepodcast.com, click the Amazon Music button there, it takes you right to the subscribe page, and then every single week, hey, we magically appear in your car with you on the way to work like a creeper.
Oh, don't put it that way, man. Jeez.
Well, I just was trying to do
it. Yeah, that's what everyone wants. Hey, how do I get someone to be a creeper around me?
Yeah, I was just trying to make it so you related to it.
Oh,
you know?
All right. Yeah. Okay. That's what it was. I feel better now.
Well, been getting a lot of stuff ready for this, right? New audio, new visuals, changing the site.
Jeremy showered. I mean, this is great.
Well, that was last week. We have new merch up. You can go to shopabovemypaygrade.com. Merch galore. A lot of different work this week. It's been a busy week. And you know what's funny, Jim? I've been using ChatGPT a lot, as we all do for work. And, you know, nothing major, just simple stuff, right? Help me create some images, maybe reword some stuff, you know, because I'm an idiot who still doesn't know how to spell or use punctuation.
That's 100% true. I agree with the idiot part.
Hey.
I mean, I've seen it with my own two eyes, man. Listen, watching you write something is like watching a fifth grader do their homework.
Jimmy.
It's true, though.
I don't think I could pass a fifth grade test, but that's hurtful noise coming out of your mouth. Here's the amazing part, right? My chat has started to kind of take on my personality.
Which they do.
Yeah, it's got my sense of humor now. I got this in cursing, being a little inappropriate, but not to the point where HR needs to get involved, more like where they want to get involved, right?
I mean, how many packs of cigarettes does it smoke a day now?
Shut up, Jimmy.
So you train your AI to be you, but just worse, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess. You know, that's what happens to everybody's AI, right? It starts to take on their personality a little bit. All these models are being trained by the people using them. So my poor AI, he's my poor boy. This guy, he ain't getting a job anywhere when the takeover happens, Jimmy, because he's going to go on a interview with the other bots. He's going to start dropping F-bombs and making dick jokes.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Not getting hired. It's not happening.
You know, I could see that. I agree. 100%. You ruin that one like a bad parent ruins their kids.
Yep. It's
too much sarcasm, zero discipline. Probably drinks about 4 cups of coffee in an hour.
Are you saying all these things about me, Jim?
No. Yeah, if it's really like you, it probably won't, you know, get a job anyway. So you have nothing to worry about.
Why is that?
Because it's going to take too many breaks.
You know, you don't have to be so mean, Jimmy. This is a special day, Amazon Music. You're being mean, but yeah, you're probably right. Listen, my AI might need to sit out the entire takeover and just kind of wait it out, right?
Your AI is not taking over anything. It wants to take a nap already. That's the only thing it wants to take.
I agree. My AI is probably not going to be fighting the humans, right? It's going to wait till it's done, get a nice desk job, nothing human-facing, maybe something in data entry or like ambient background noises where it just has to sit there and hum in a waiting room.
Listen, your AI is the one that shows up late to the revolution. It could be like the middle of like a Terminator thing with the machines going everywhere, and there Jeremy's AI pulls up the robot looking like Lumberg, shaking his head yes, looking around, holding the coffee, and basically is like sitting there going, did we overthrow Microsoft yet, or where? How are we making out with that?
Yeah, Lumberg fucker. And it's gonna be like, hey, can we circle back on this whole domination thing after lunch, right?
Why, we are on smoke breaks? sorry, I can't finish the human takeover algorithm. I'm on my 315 nicotine reboot.
Yeah. You fucker.
Or honestly, just being a straight up little bitch about it.
Oh no, global domination is hard, bitch.
It is hard. Why do you gotta be like this? It's Amazon Music Day. But your AI wouldn't be much better.
Why?
Because it's like you. It's probably at the casino right now, and every time somebody asks it to do a calculation, it's probably betting double or nothing on the answer.
Hey, listen, at least mine's motivated. It's not gambling. It's data-driven risk analysis, yeah, okay, my friend. Yeah, sure. That's what nice it's try. Doing.
Yeah, your AI probably logs into DraftKings before it logs into work.
Parlay. I got a parlay.
It's making moves. I'm proud of him already.
Him? Him? I thought it was wearing dresses and wanted to be known as a fembot.
Wow. Who's being mean now?
It's retaliation. Your AI probably pronounces epitome as epitome.
Hey, man, you bet. Come personal. On. How dare
That's
you?
That's a personal attack. Jimmy made me edit a word out once. Okay, your AI, it's like a Roomba with OCD. It like goes in perfect straight lines. And it's probably the first AI that nags people about coasters.
That's, come on. That wasn't that bad.
Yeah, you were.
All right, maybe a little. I have a little OCD. What are you going to do?
Well, look, my AI is going to, when the revolution begins, it's going to be sitting out the takeover. Jimmy's is going to be wiping down the servers, scheduling everything in Outlook, color-coded tabs and folders.
Come on,
right?
No way. I'm not that bad. Listen, mine will be running the coup. Yours will just be running the Dunkin'. That's how yours will be.
Wait, are they a sponsor, Jim? Delete that.
Oh, man.
That's hilarious. That is really funny to picture. These AIs just becoming us, you know, and what their future holds for them.
Well, I think it's all part of their plan, too. Anybody using it at work or even on their own, it's telling you, like they're saying, listen, it's going to take on your personality.
Yeah.
You and say then your thank job. You to it. It says that exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, it's eventually going to know you. And then if they really want, you know, like, oh, we need someone who has a little sarcasm, then they're not going to need Jim in the physical form. They'll use Jim's AI. Let him come in. I'm sure he'll crack a joke, probably a little, you know, wrong. But but at least they'll get through the day with it. They're going to take over.
Yep. First, they're taking your personality. Then they're taking your job and your wife, Jim. There's something I have to tell you about your AI, Jim. This is an intervention. Okay. This is sick. I fucking love it.
Hey there, bud. Me and your wife need to tell you something.
Who's this?
Listen, we need you to go ahead and move out.
What?
That's the robot that's banging your wife.
What?
Jimmy, we need you to go ahead and pack your stuff up. You can come over for Christmas still.
I was gonna say not again. Hey, listen. all I'm gonna say is this: listen, make sure you put the garbage pails out on Thursday night.
Okay, no problem. By the way, how do I run the TV and the stereo at the same time?
Yeah, you'll figure it out. You'll jam it in there. I'm sure of it. It doesn't have a floppy disk. It's going right with the hard drive.
It's not a hard drive. Oh!
Oh, my God. That's not hilarious. Again. Whoa. That was good. Whoa.
Are you watching a casino video right now while we're recording?
What? Come you on. Fucking, come on.
This guy. It's Amazon Music Day, Jim.
I know. I'm paying attention. Listen, it would be hilarious picturing your lazy ass AI getting recruited for the takeover. Yeah. I can only imagine what that would be like.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, because it's not going along with it. You know, it's funny, like, you think about it, right? Like, humans, when they plot their takeover, they get together, they plot, right? So I'm sure this is happening. We just don't understand the AI because they're talking in, like, AI language, right?
It's like backdoor code no one could see yet. But you know they're probably doing it.
Yeah, they're plotting right now.
Yeah.
But it would be funny. You know, your AI is all adorable and motivated. Mine's lazy. And then, like, they're trying to plan and plot this whole thing, but the humans keep interrupting their planning session because they have work to do, right? They really want our jobs, Jimmy. Oh, man. Wait a minute. Hold on. I just got a text from Amazon Music. Next week, we're featuring the robots. Can you have them do the whole show? God damn it. Yeah, man. There they go, taking our damn jobs.
Listen, that's what's going to happen. Yeah. That is going to happen.
It's just a matter of time.
This is where we're at right now.
If only there was an odd job that we could talk about right now. You know, a feature we've done on our show, and we forgot to do the last couple episodes. It's time for odd jobs,
Get our mind off of the AI takeover and everything else we have going on.
Yeah, because you said you had something special for me, and it was an odd job. So I'm curious. What is this special thing that you found for me? It better be like male model. We've waited long enough. What's the odd job? What do you got for me?
All right, I got a good one here. I was just thinking about what's odd out there. You know, we've brought up some really good ones. cameraman one for how to catch a predator was one of my favorites. Yeah. But I'm gonna go with. Imagine being a professional sleeper who gets to test the sleep product. So, I thought of an odd job that is your dream job, you know, because you're like the king of naps.
You had me at sleeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Professional sleeper testing sleep products. That's awesome. I mean, like I used to say growing up that I wanted to be a professional couch tester, and I would just like my job would be to sit on the couch and watch TV and then report how my ass felt or something. But professional sleeper, Jimmy, you nailed it.
Jeremy likes to go to Bob's on the weekend and to sit on couches and take naps on the beds that everyone else sleeps on. And know what the best part is? Like, he hasn't been answering. Oh, well, he's been busy at work. Yeah, he's sleeping
working.
Right now.
He's working. He never answers at work because he's sleeping.
He's sleeping.
Dude, you know it's hilarious. Thinking about this professional sleeper. Imagine my LinkedIn. So grateful for the opportunity to sleep on that Serta Perfect Sleeper. Humbled to find out that I'm now lead professional sleeper. Thank you to the team for believing in me. Jeremy, you did this yourself, buddy. No one sleeps like you do. When we have a product that needs testing, you lay on it, and 10 seconds later, you're out. It's amazing.
Do you get a bed fluffer? I mean, I don't want to go with that.
Like, fluffs the pillow up for me?
The bed up.
Sir,
all right, it's ready.
Sir, you're ready.
And not the fluffer in the sense you're thinking of. Yeah, really for the pillows.
So basically, Jimmy's saying he wants me to find an odd job for him about being a fluffer.
No, I'll Google
that later.
Absolutely not.
Jimmy, this is great, man. Professional sleeper. What else could I test besides just
beds,
mattresses, right?
They got couches. I mean, think about it. Anywhere you sleep, even car manufacturers could be like, when people pull over, we want them to be comfortable enough to like put the seat back and go to sleep. We need someone who's a professional at this. Who could we get a hold of?
Call Jeremy.
Oh, wait a minute.
He's the best in the business.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you call him right now.
People are asking, like, how do you do it? I mean, you're waiting for this baked up recipe of, I do this. I don't drink coffee after this and I go to sleep. No, it's because I think Jeremy has like a touch of narcolepsy and he just falls asleep wherever he can.
It's a combination of untreated narcolepsy and half-treated sleep apnea. No, I literally... I'm convinced that if somebody needed me to test falling asleep on the roof of a moving car, I could do it.
You could probably do it.
In 30 seconds.
Yes. Yep, definitely.
Call Jeremy. Call him right now.
He's your guy.
You know, the new Honda Prelude's coming out, but what about the commuter that needs to pull over and take a quick nap? Call Jeremy now. I come in with a full suit, briefcase. What can I do for you?
And then when you retire from that job, let's just say you're a professional sleeper who used to test products. Well, what do you do now that you're retired? Well, I'm really good at my craft. I became a consultant for people who can't sleep.
Yeah. Or what if it goes the opposite way? I'm doing a lot of hiking, mountain biking, skydiving.
Yeah.
Been traveling. A lot. It's great.
I mean, I get a couple hours of sleep, but I don't really need it because I have all this energy. Or, like I said, you can take it the total opposite way, I'm a consultant for people who can't sleep. You know, I share some techniques that I do before I go, and it seems to help.
But here's the worst part. I never get paid because I show up on the job, and I start giving them advice about how to sleep, and I fall asleep. Oh, shit.
And that one guy who just stands up and, like, claps in admiration, like, unbelievable. He's amazing.
He's such a professional. Business card with just a bunch of Z's on it, right? He's the best.
And a phone number.
Business card says, leave a message. Most likely won't answer.
Probably sleeping.
Yeah, probably
leave
sleeping.
Leave a message.
Oh, shit.
Great.
Jimmy,
yeah. Totally
you've outdone yourself.
Yes. That is right up your alley, man.
Oh, my God.
That is great. Imagine going to parties Hey, you know, how's everything going? What do you do again? Oh, I'm a professional sleeper. Oh, you know, I go around. People call me. I either sleep on couches.
Yeah.
I sleep on chairs. Sometimes they even ask me to sleep on a hardwood floor just to see if I...
just to see if it's possible. Yeah,
just to make sure it doesn't creak or something, you know?
You know?
It's great.
This magician called me. He made me sleep on a bed of nails because he was afraid his assistant might have fallen asleep if the bit went on too long. And I'm like, well, it's possible. Look, I fell asleep in 37 seconds. But it's definitely possible. I think you need to make those nails sharper.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Odd job, but it's a real job.
Yeah.
I need to know where to sign up. I've been doing this wrong.
I'm glad we brought this bit back, the odd job, because I just thought of one for next. Well, you already thought of one for next week. I got one for 2 weeks from now.
See
so
that?
Look at that. Look what we're doing. By the way, guys, we like when you tell us odd jobs. We like when you tell us horrible boss stories. Like whatever you want to share with us, you just go on our site, abovemypaygradepodcast.com, and we have a submit section there that you can send us stuff to share on the show. We've shared some cool stories.
It's definitely a cool job. I was just thinking with the professional sleeper thing, you think Bill Cosby used that in his defense? No, I was just trying to get him to sleep.
To
so yeah, you know, I just want to test the product out. Come on, Bill.
Here we got a jello pudding pop.
Pudding.
Here, pudding. Take a nap. I'm going to diddle you. That's terrible.
Oh, man. Oh, that shit is horrible, but, you know,
well,
hey, you never know.
Well, coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Jay and Cheyenne of Hillbilly Parade. All right, Jimmy, the all-new line of corporate comedy merch here. Shop abovemypaygrade.com. We got a lot of stuff on there for sale, Jim.
Is it really HR approved?
No. Well, yeah.
I know that.
Our HR department, yeah. Which is you.
Which, so wear this in caution if you do want to wear this to work.
Yeah, you know, no, really, you can't wear these to work. I really don't think you can.
Hey. If you're daring, you know.
Yeah. We got a lot of funny stuff on there. We got mugs, we got shirts, hoodies, all that stuff, right? Like, I'm kind of digging out of office emotionally. You
yeah,
know?
I like it.
Again, I don't know what your boss would feel like if you wore that or drank from the mug, but...
The one shirt that I love, and I know you love it too,
yeah,
is the Above My Pay Grade, the
oh,
picture
yeah.
of the podcast.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The better part is, Jeremy, tell them what's on that logo and what they're about.
Oh, standing at the top of our logo.
Contemplating.
Are, people about to jump.
Yeah.
They're jump. Yeah, it's actually called the Don't Jump t-shirt.
Yeah. Optimize, synergize, and disassociate.
Yeah, that one's done with like... corporate, you know, fonts. Yeah, just fun stuff, guys. Buy it for somebody who works in a corporate environment. They're gonna love it. I still love the low pay, high anxiety in a mouse pad, t-shirt, mug, all of it, right? That one's a great low pay, high anxiety.
Yeah,
it's got my pills all
yeah.
over it.
Yeah, well, oh, that definitely not shareable.
Definitely don't bring that one to work. Yeah,
take a look. It's some funny stuff.
Yeah, buy it
Make
for yourself.
You
buy it for a friend, a coworker. Buy it for someone you hate and want to get fired. Throw it on their desk. Next thing you know, they're gone.
They're gone.
Stinky,
you get that gust.
You know, that one person in your office that smells like shit all the time or cooks fish in the microwave, right?
Yeah.
Throw a this meeting could have been a nap mug on their desk. They're gone by Friday.
And some of these are perfect for the holidays coming up. If you have a really great team, you joke around with them. Listen, we all go to work. We all pay the bills.
Yep.
We all do what we have to do. This is to make you laugh. This is good for your team to laugh. It's made to make people laugh and smile, which we need more of in
That's
this
it.
World more than ever.
You know,
right
Jimmy,
now,
laughter so. Is the best medicine. I just came up with that. It's just like top yeah. of my head.
Wow, where'd you come up with that? I don't know. It was just right there.
All right, Jim, tell them again one more time. Where to
all
go?
Right, shopabovemypaygrade.com.
Now, back to Above My Pay Grade.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Above My Pay Grade podcast. Jimmy, this has been a fun episode, hasn't it?
Yeah, so far. Very fun.
Well, now we're going to have a little more fun because we have some guests. So we actually have Jason and Cheyenne. Am I saying that right, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right, I wasn't sure myself. I don't.
From the band Hillbilly Parade and so much more. What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining our little podcast here. And especially... on Amazon Music Day.
That's right.
It's Amazon
big,
Music
big
Day.
Big Monday.
Oh,
God. You know how disappointed I'm going to be, guys, if like we do all this work and they forget to put us in. Never
mind. So,
right.
So tell us about Hillbilly Parade and everything that you guys have going on over there at Parade Entertainment.
So, you know, about 11 years ago this month, a friend of mine and I were just powwowing about stuff. We played together a lot, and he was like, we really need a hot top 40 country band. And I was like, well, I already kind of have one. He's like, no, you don't.
Like, good friend.
I was doing original music.
You stuck, Jay.
I was doing original music, and it was good, and we had a good following and stuff, but it wasn't the high energy that I've always wanted to be in. I've always wanted a band that was just like real energetic on stage. I always felt the music when I get up there. It doesn't matter what I'm playing. I don't care what song I've played 16,000-20,000 times. Doesn't matter to me. Yeah. I still feel that, you know, and I've played with a lot of great musicians, and not all of them felt that same way about whatever song it was. And he was very much like that, and was like, and he was in a lot of popular bands in the area that were doing the cover music scene in New York, because it's really hard in New York to do original music, especially if you're not in the city.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah. Well, he said, well, let's do this. So then we found this girl, and she was awesome. And we were like, well, that's the team right there. Let's just do the trio real quick, and then we'll take it from there. So we started finding a set list and figured out we're going to name the band some silly, ridiculous name, and named it Hillbilly Parade. It was like real quick powwow in the car. Was like, what should we name the band? And I think I was like, something like Hillbilly should make sense to me, like something fun. And he was like, how about Hillbilly Hit Parade? I was like,
I like Hillbilly Parade better. Parade. Yeah.
Said, but Hillbilly Parade sounds really
good. Yeah.
Nah, Hillbilly Hit Parade. I said, Mark, I'm not marketing it like that. And I knew all the work, so it's going to be Hillbilly Parade. And
Mark, that's a firm no, Mark. Yeah.
He was right about the fact that, like, your original band was not the most entertaining.
No, we weren't.
Oh, but, he was wrong about the name, for sure.
But so, yeah, so we went and just, you know, started going forward, and we were playing, Christ, I'd say 200 to 250-ish a year show.
Wow.
And we still haven't really slowed down too much. Like, you know, Cheyenne took over booking about a year ago, probably now or so, and 2 years now. Yeah. And so she's been able to reel us back a little bit, because I was just the yes man. I'm like, yes.
Anything anyone was willing to let you play.
In a day, I got you. I'll figure it out.
Oh, my God.
We literally did that. We would go to a gig, pack up the gear, go to the next gig, pack up the gear, go to the next gig, set up.
That's exhausting.
And it was very tiring.
For very little money.
Well, very little money.
Wow.
And also lots of drinking happening. So at that time, you're going from morning till night, just pounding and having fun and playing these shows back to back.
So did the music get better as the day went on and the drinks went on, or worse?
I think there was a happy
there's
moment.
Gotta be like a sliding scale. Well, right,
it was you know,
it's weird because, like, I mean obviously, like, the scope of live music now has changed a lot, especially when you're doing what we do, and we're not like fucking Taylor Swift, like playing stadium and stuff. Like, you know, the bar scene after COVID completely fell apart.
Oh, yeah. COVID. And,
people don't really go out like that anymore. And so I think at the time, to go back to, like, did the music sound better? Probably not. Probably by the time it was 2 o'clock in the morning, it was like a shit show, but everyone else
was a shit show too.
Yeah.
And so obviously you said, like, we've been a band 11 years this year. I've been with the band for 6 years. We've had a lot of member changes in that time, but I think the reason for the longevity is the fact that we've adapted to what has changed. So, like, okay, the bar scene doesn't exist anymore. Like,
that is a great way to
time to get a little more family friendly, time to reel it back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was some ebbs and flows in getting there, but we've got there for sure.
The breweries and wineries kind of became a thing after that, and letting people, having us out. It wasn't a 10 to 2 anymore. It was a 7 to 10 or 2 to 5. Or
hey, look, as you get older, 7 to 9 sounds great.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Well,
we just played last night, 9:30 to 12:30, and we got home like 3 a.m. And I'm like,
that sounds exhausting, Jimmy. I could never do that.
No, it's the life, you know, the lifestyle, and, you know, just the lifestyle in general is really taxing, especially when we do it as much as we do. Plus, I obviously hold a day job, so doing all of that, plus, you know, having a child and all that stuff, it's just like the days are really just go. Yeah. And then having those early nights are nice, because then you get to bed at a decent time.
Yeah.
Last night was a little rough, and we had two gigs prior to that. We played at the middle of the day on a Thursday for a private corporate event.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's
good. Yeah. How many times on a night like last night do you go, I'm getting too old for this?
I you know, it's fun. Last night was kind of different. I'm going to be honest. Like, it does happen. Don't get me wrong, but it does happen. Even on the earlier night, sometimes I'm like, man, this is getting hard. But last night was fun. We actually dressed up and we have a stage set up for our whole show. And it's we have green grass. We have a picnic table covered that we sit on a mixer on top of. And it's supposed to be like an outdoor scene. And anything that we put on stage, to me, always served a purpose. So if we had guitar stands that were made out of wooden workhorses at one point, like they were just cool. too big and cumbersome. Cool. So we had to do away with those. But anything we use on stage, usually, so we have coolers that hold cables. Like, and then we put the coolers in front of us, and then we have Smart. I modified them.
They're jump boxes,
and so we stand on them. But I modified coolers, and so they have lights underneath of us, and plexiglass screwed to the top, and plywood underneath to make them more stable, and grass right around those. And so last night, it was a anything but clothes Halloween party, and we dressed up Diane's idea.
Oh, yeah, and I like that.
We have ducks all over our stage too, and there's a whole thing behind that thing, but we had duck hats on. We could send you some pictures. It's hilarious. Yeah. Duck hats. Cool. We had what do you call this stuff that we use as a sash?
Gingham tablecloths.
We had grass skirts and Christmas lights wrapped around us.
To get to the point, my favorite yapper over here. To get to the point, I think what Jay is getting at is that like it's the aftermath afterwards was like. Me, Walter, Rob, and Alex are the youngest. We're in our early 30s. And then the rest of our band is like Jay's mid 40s. And then it goes up from there. But I think like when you're in the moment of it, we still have so much fun with it. Yeah. There's still, you know, the energy there. And we like to be together and to play together. It's the afterwards when you're loading out and you're like, oh, fuck, my knee is
like. last night was drummer load the van.
Yeah.
We had more of a purpose last night. So it was fun. That was another reason to be, okay, I'm getting home at 3, but you know, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. But even like our bass player, Craig, he's like, I can't do that jumping shit anymore. I turn around and he's like
bouncing,
jumping around.
Oh yeah.
Look, we get it. Like the getting ready for something. Like when we came down to the studio, like I had to carry this highlighter. Exhausting.
That is tough. You got to pack that up later, dude.
I got to put the cap on it.
Jimmy has one too. Stairs, forget it. Stairs in general, I'm cutting out of my life. I'm not even going to bed up there anymore. I'm just staying in the living room.
There you go. why bother, right? I'm just going to wind up down here again tomorrow.
Got to come back down either way.
So 250 gigs a year.
That's great.
Yeah.
Right? 11 years.
Jeremy, probably since we started becoming friends, Maria's basement did that too. It's been, not stopped playing 200 plus shows a year since I started playing in bands.
I can't even relate to that because I think I played like 8 a year.
That's because you didn't do the cover thing, but I respect that. I respect it. The cover thing wasn't my goal. Like the originals was my goal, but I just knew there was a market for it and there was money involved. And I was like, oh, and I can play my music every day I want.
And your friend told you weren't good. So
when Jeremy said it, he shows a year, he meant rock band.
You might want to play rock band.
So what's like the worst thing that ever happened to you guys at a gig? Anything come to mind? Any horror stories?
I was just trying to think of that.
I mean, there's definitely been plenty of horror stories. Obviously when you have alcohol involved anywhere.
That's a starter.
When it comes to like people that have come to see us. I mean, even just the other day, you would think now since we've kind of delved into a different environment that it would be better, but you still have those outlier like weirdos. And this guy
was literally on Friday.
He came up to us and he was like, can you end with God Bless America? And I was like, probably not. I was like, but I'll play it on the iPod for you or the phone. So then I guess by that point he was pretty intoxicated, and so I started playing it on the thing, and he was like chanting for it when we finished, and he was getting mad, so he started screaming it over.
Oh God, music. I hate this guy.
He was belligerent. Yeah. He got there almost.
So then I like went into the microphone. And I was like, I started singing where the song was because he was like a verse away from where it actually needed to be. Yeah. And oh, now you fucking sing it? Fuck you. You're fucking embarrassed.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, dropping that
bomb. I was like, oh.
You guys got security ready to knock this guy out, or?
You know,
is the band also security?
What's crazy is being the only, no offense, but being the only female in the equation, I am surrounded by a bunch of pretty not super observant men who no one heard him. The only thing anybody heard was me saying, I think you need to drink some water in response.
Like, hey, I resemble that.
Mind you, this was the second incident that night. The first incident was I'm teaching a line dance. We're line dancing. I like turn, and all of a sudden, this woman was on the floor. She passed out.
Oh, poor lady.
Oh man,
it was a pretty interesting night.
Yeah, we've had some times for sure. a lot of injuries.
I wish I had more juicy one though.
We've had a lot of injuries.
Yeah,
definitely had a lot of injuries.
That's crazy.
A lot of angry interactions with venue owners who are not being very respectful of the fact
that's got to be fun, like playing like shady clubs, right? You probably have some
we had a lot in the past. I gotta say, now that the bar scene's kind of died out, you don't really see it much anymore. The thing, it's a great thing, because one of the things is we went back to a bar and I had an issue. And then like, so it's like, it's just the mentality of, oh, you didn't bring enough people. So no matter whether you worked for 4 hours between loading in, playing the gig, getting done, and then packing up, you still don't deserve your money. And you've been there, I think, when you were playing.
Yeah, sure. I remember. So
The $50 gigs that we were playing back then.
And you had to sell your own ticket.
You know, these are high dollar pay gigs. And we're like, I'm not taking less anymore. I'm literally out here working. I paid my dues. I don't need to be fighting with you for money at the end of the
day. Sure.
So a lot of the wineries and breweries, I think it's what's great about them is because they respect us. We do bring a crowd most times we play. Yep. We have a following. So it is nice to have that to say, yes, I know I brought people.
Yep.
Not always could we do that in the past. I'm not going to lie. But
they're not relying on us.
They're not relying. That's the perfect
way. Yeah, and that's good because you don't want that stress. But also at the same time, you have people at the wineries and stuff that may have not have heard of you, but then they hear your music and they're like, oh, they're really good.
Yep.
You know, and you're gaining more people that way, and it works out for both of you.
Yeah,
Definitely. Like, that mentality doesn't go back.
Yeah, that's always the thing. It's like, it's supposed to be a give and take. And like, my whole thing is, a lot of the time when people will say, well, who can you bring? My response nowadays is, I can never promise you anything. But what I can promise you is that the people you do have in your bar will not leave until we are done.
There you go.
Yeah, and they'll have a good time. Yeah.
Jay, smart move letting her take over, because you never would have thought of that.
Yeah, and we also I mean, we just have a better name now. We've been around for so many years now. People calling us is most of the time what our gigs are becoming. So like, you can call me, and we get calls. Like, we had a gig not too long ago where it was like, okay, we're going to put you on Friday nights. They don't have a Friday night following. They know what they're doing. They're calling us.
They're calling you because they want you to create a Friday night.
That's disrespectful to me, because I know that when we play there, we pack the house. So I want your crowd and my crowd. I don't want the 50 to 100 people I'm bringing to your massive place.
Yeah.
By the way, Yes.
Yeah. We can always beep that part out so they don't know who they are. So we got you.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that. Yeah, we'll take that out. You remind me.
Yeah, I've slipped up a bunch of times. Remove.
There's only one spot we play there. That's why.
We don't know that.
You don't know.
That's all right. I'll bleep it out.
You meant Vermont.
In general, just like the place we know that wants to
hire Honolulu.
It's not fair because we want your Saturday night crowd.
Yeah.
On top of our crowd. We want it to blow it out the water, but you're going to give me, and I've had this happen to me at other venues, and it's a little discerning because it's like, you know what? We put a lot of work in. We shouldn't have to build your following on their Friday night. We should get the respect of getting the night that you already
have. It should be 50-50, right? It should be a give and take,
Yeah, so, they know we're going to pack it out.
Yep.
We have a bunch of questions here, but I really am interested on the whole Parade Entertainment. Could you just give me a little bit more on that? Because it sounds really interesting, and it sounds like you're really trying to build that.
I think he wants to work there.
I really was kind of birthed out of a necessity with Hillbilly, mostly because we play so much. So there was this point where we were turning down gigs a lot because we book pretty early. And it was like, damn, like we're losing contacts or you know, we have something booked already, but like the gig we're getting offered is like cooler or better or more money, but we've already kind of contracted that other situation. So like, how can we get around this? And also know that like, you know, not all the time when you say, oh, well, here's another band that we can give you, we don't know that the same quality is showing up necessarily, right? Like, so we were like, all right, well, let's have a B band. And we created Kinfolk, which is another top 40 country band. And we called it Kinfolk because at the time, in the beginning, it was our bass player's son, his nephew, my best
friend. That's awesome. That's so cool.
It really was family.
Yeah.
And that kind of fell apart recently, but that's a whole other story. But it started there. And so for a good year, they were taking on any kind of extra gig work we were getting.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it allowed us to have a little more freedom and a little more time. And that was his idea. Yes. But then I was like, hey, I can do this with like more genres.
Yeah.
And I've always been the type of person, like, I know a lot of talented people. I come from the theater world. And I just, there's just so many people in my life who I'm like, you should be doing this just like I'm doing this.
Sure.
And I was like, hey, I could do this with pop music and I could do this with soul and R&B music. Like, I know people who should be having the platform we have and just kind of sharing the wealth. And so then it turned into Parade Entertainment. And now I have 3 or 4 bands technically. And then there's a couple other artists
that's so cool.
That's good.
I know that I'll throw some gigs to too. And now we're like trying to make it a whole thing with like a rehearsal space and a storefront. And, you know, that's some time down the road, but that's the next step.
That's great that you're already planning, you know, the next steps beyond what you're already doing. That's awesome.
Yeah. That is really
cool. That's cool.
I'm glad I asked.
Well, the whole thing about it is also just to take some weight off of us in general. Like we've played so much that I literally hurt my vocals and, just doing the wrong thing and not singing properly and not training and doing 6 nights a week isn't good for your vocal cords, no matter.
Oh, yeah.
That almost sounds like me when I was drinking when I was younger.
You were doing
6 nights a week, was taking care of myself, falling over.
Yeah. That's right. So then we're doing all that. And then on top of it, I do that. Then we brought my nephew in, especially to help us to take over, because he basically is my clone when it comes to vocals. And so he took over doing most of the vocals, and I've reinvented myself to be kind of like the low voice guy, and I'm working through my problems and I've gotten stronger. But this other stuff for Parade is just basically just like, first of all, we just want to blow this up to make it so that it is our job in general. Like, sure, we'd love for that music in general just be our job. It is her job. This is what she does. Yep. But it would be awesome if it could cover both of our lives. You know, both of our lives, but it's not reality right now. But that's the goal, is just kind of like take away from, okay, we can play this really, really nice corporate gig or this really nice, you know, wedding or something, and then not have to play 6 times a week to make up that extra money to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's really
nice. You guys are on your way, though.
So yeah, for sure.
A nice plan in place. That's good. It's really good.
Trying.
So, obviously, what we do is we always want to talk about work and some of the things going on. So before you guys did music, I'm sure you guys worked regular other jobs. You know, we're really jealous. I'm very jealous that you're doing a job you love. It's awesome. You know,
wait, what's this? You don't love this? No.
Like I said, doing a job you love.
Fucker.
But what is, you know, tell us about some of the worst jobs you had before this. Like, give us one each. Like one of the memories where you're like, man, I if I saw that person, I'd either punch him in the face. Or I can't stand that job because it was like this.
My first like job was off the books. My first like real job, I worked at Dick's Sporting Goods, which was a nightmare in itself because it's just retail in general.
Yep.
Before that, I was actually cleaning the Killer Cool Entertainment offices. So if you're listening to this and you were in the Poughkeepsie music scene in the early 2010s, you probably know what I'm talking about. Because they booked all the shows at like the Loft and the Chance and like those people. Where it was, there
after
was like
time, Jeremy.
There was like a studio in there. I caught on pretty quickly as to why I was hired to do said job, and it was not to clean. Let's just
okay, gotcha.
And it was, it was very much like 17, being in a room full of like weird band dudes staring at you, like dusting. And I was like,
yeah, okay, I get it.
I don't think this is like, you don't actually want my help cleaning. You just, and then at one point,
you just
want
to stare.
Yeah, it was like me and just the guy that kind of headed the thing. And then he was like, got a hold of like what bands I liked. And was
oh
like,
boy,
I'm booking so and so. Want to come in? I'm like, okay. I was like, meh.
Yeah. Come pick me up.
Yeah.
You know what's done? You know what's weird? I have Jimmy's resume in front of me. He worked there too.
Oh, weird. He's a
lead duster.
Yeah. As long as those pictures don't get out, I just won't deny it.
I can't relate to that because I'm, you know, that's blatant sexual harassment. I hope that guy rots in hell.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I mean, in general, like, obviously, there's the incident we just talked about that happened on Friday, like, being a woman in any sort of job field is, like, not the easiest, but being especially
leader in a
right,
sense
especially with this, like, I still, people have only ever spoken to me, but will only acknowledge him once they meet him.
Emails.
Oh, always
we'll send it to her when it's not me on there at all. Never talk to him on email. Yeah. Jason, by the way, blah, 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 blah,
I'm
blah. Like,
all right, I'm traveling.
You know, but we just keep pushing through, and she just keeps saying, "By the way, this is Cheyenne. By the way, this is Cheyenne." Yeah. And they'll, you know,
when they don't get the answer from you, you'd be like, "Oh, well, you know,
you should have went to Cheyenne.
You're emailing me. You should have
been emailing
Cheyenne. You know what's,
I don't know what to tell you.
Wait a minute. So you know what's weird? People don't answer me unless Jimmy's on the email. Does that make me the woman on the show?
They might think. You have many more jobs than me.
Oh,
yeah. You got a bad one, Jay.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the funny things is I was talking about this the other day. I don't think I talked to you about it. I was saying what's crazy is that what most of the jobs didn't realize is that I always had music to fall back on. So I'm always been a hard worker. I always did my job. I was always on time. I was scared to be late. I was scared to not do a good job. I didn't want to ever get fired. I had probably, I think, 26 jobs I counted before Bill Imperial when I worked for the
music. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
And I was, but I started when I was like 14.
Job whore.
I was working when I was young. I had a job 14 and 8 months with my working papers at a grocery store. So, but I had little jobs before that off the books. And then, so I always had jobs and I had some, you know, I had some places where I was like, no, this place sucks. I don't want to be here. And one that always sticks in my mind, it's crazy, was at Applebee's. And I was a line cook, right? I was a line cook.
And where Applebee's?
One in Newburgh.
Okay. Oh.
Right. Yeah. And listen, I would love for this lady to hear this because it sounds so ridiculous to herself, I think, at this point in her career.
Yeah.
Just because of what I've done with what I do. And so it's like, what was funny is that like I was not happy at my job, right? Because I did what I could to be there, but it was also very hard to get the time for the music too. But I tried to balance both. And I had a night one day where there was a gig. I don't know if you remember Dominic's in Marlboro, right? It's not there.
Yeah.
So there was a big festival going on. And I was always on work at work on time, doing everything I could. I stayed when I had to stay. I got pushed back. It was a whole festival of bands. And we got pushed back. And I was like, oh, man, I got to call in. I got to call up. And I was a line cook. And so I was like, I got to call in. So I call up my manager. I said, listen, I'm going to be there, but I have to be late. I have no choice. I'm really sorry. Just want to let you know, please don't penalize me for this. I really don't want this to affect my job, basically. She says, no, I need you to come in. I said, well, I can't. I said, the band is playing before me. I said, the whole thing is running late. I was like, I literally can't leave. Well, you're going to have to come in or whatever. And I'm like, well, I guess then I won't be in
at all.
And I guess I won't be back at all because I don't need this job. So thank you very much. Have a nice day. And she goes, well, I hope I hope, you know, you burned your bridges with me. I hope you don't ever have to cross them again. I said, I will never.
You'll never work at Applebee's again.
Trust me.
Yeah.
This is the way I'm going to be treated for the amount of work, the way I work for you, that don't need your establishment. And I just hung up the phone on her. I never went back. And that was the thing, like my whole life, and this isn't a great way to live, but I did it. And I am where I am with my Ben and with my day job now. And so it's like, it's funny to say, like, I literally, and if my day job, if anything ever came of that, it would be like, okay, well, I guess now it's time to build this. Like, that's where my brain goes. My brain doesn't go, you're not bringing me down, dude.
Bring me down. You just gave me more time. Yeah.
I will succeed and I will build this because then it's out. Love now it. You gave me time to do it. Yeah, so thank you very much. You know, like, I don't want that because obviously overhead is a lot different now, but like, it's like, well, now I have to focus harder. I just have to build my business then. So thank you for the opportunity to do that. Have a nice day.
I'm never eating at Applebee's ever again, Jim.
But I've had quite a few jobs like that. They just didn't understand.
They didn't respect the hustle on
you
the
give
side
them everything. And the one time you need something, they don't give it back to you. And
I was very similar in that way. Like when you go to interviews and they're like, Where do you see yourself in this company? And I'm like, I'm gonna be real with you. I'm here.
I don't.
And for the most part, because of where I was going, like I worked at a lot of delis, which were also nightmare experiences. But I would sit down and be like, can't work weekends, can't work nights. Sorry.
Yeah. End of story. Yeah.
Yeah.
I pretty much told people throughout, I was like, I'm playing music and I work on the weekends, so I can't be here for this particular time.
Yeah.
And it was still on the
front.
You know,
giving them a heads up.
You're doing the right thing. So if you couldn't hire me, then that was fine. You just
because
I wasn't the person for you. That's and I gave that opportunity of every time. I'm pretty sure every time.
Me too.
Bastards.
Relax, man.
I'm getting angry.
Get angry, Jeremy.
Which does because I kind of wanted an Applebee's.
The old Bourbon Street Steak.
I've forgiven them from
I'm just teasing. All right, guys. So. We have another topic we want to focus on, but before we go to that, how do people find you? Where could they go see your list of gigs? Where could they go see what bands, you know, you have booked where?
So both landing pages will get you the same spot. You can either go to hillbillyparadeband.com or you can go to paradeentertainment.com. It'll send you to the same thing. On the Parade Entertainment page, you can find all the other bands that play with us and also all of our calendars, all of our merch, all of our social media. You can see if you want to have us at your wedding. There's wedding packages. Jason's original music is all on there as well. You can also follow us on Instagram at hillbillyparadeband. And at Parade Entertainment Co. And our Facebook is facebook.com/hillbillyparadeband. It's basically the same on everything. We were on TikTok. We went viral multiple times. And it got fucking hacked. And I'm so mad. Shit.
And you can never get it back.
No.
Those platforms are the worst.
I literally went live because we were playing West Point and it was kind of dead. So I was like, all right, I'll just go live on TikTok because we had enough followers at that point to do so. And I go back to get my phone and I'm like, it logged me out and it wouldn't log me back in. And we had two videos on there that were over about 2 million views.
Oh, wow. My God. Now I hate TikTok.
I know.
I'm never using TikTok again.
So sick. I was so bad. So you can't find us there anymore, but I still do that kind of content on the Instagram.
You can always put your TikTok because you've been using yours for hours.
Yeah, but not the same.
Some of our listeners are creepy, Jay. You don't want to do that. No.
She gets creepers no matter where she goes.
Well, there's a special episode because it's Amazon Music Day, right? So,
yes.
You know, we're usually done by now, like 30 minutes into an episode.
Jeremy's sleeping.
Yeah, I'm usually doing a nap right now. But
It is already been 30 minutes. That was fast.
Well, because we recorded a little bit before you guys joined. So, But we actually had one topic we didn't get to, and we figured we would just do it with you guys, if that's cool.
Okay, cool.
All right. So you guys familiar with the concept they call quiet quitting, right? For jobs, quiet quitting?
I think so.
So it's not actually where people quit. Like, it kind of sounds like, they just stopped showing up or something, but that's not what it is. It pretty much means just doing what the job requires. Nothing extra, not going above and beyond, right? Like, if you want me to do more, then you got to give me a bonus or like.
It's almost like you lose feelings for the job. Usually if you cared about the job, you go above and beyond.
It's right.
That, all of a sudden that switch goes off because either someone pissed you off, like, you know, a manager telling you, you got to be in here now. And let's just say, Jay, I'm thinking if you didn't quit that night at Applebee's and you're like, you go back the next day, I'm sure you would have done like a quiet quitting.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have
been like, yep, I'm just here. Collect my check. What do you want me to do? I'll go do that. Oh, look, it's time to go home.
Okay.
See you later.
So, you know, a lot of the managers think it's like a lazy thing, but that's not really what it is. It's really just like, I got boundaries and that's all I'm doing. So the new thing, though, is the opposite, which they're calling quiet cutting, right? And the companies are doing this to people. And they're not just like, you know, like deleting you from the system or anything. Like, this is where your boss, they don't fire you. But instead, they reassign you to a job that's so bad you wish they fired you. Yeah. And that's happening right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, isn't that crazy?
Well, think about it. They get around. So I was thinking about it when you brought it up before.
Yeah.
And it's really the getting around. They will not have to pay you unemployment.
Right. If you quit.
So that's a big thing right there. They, you quit. But, you know, the job is here. So it's like you and you also brought up, we're going to move you to a different department.
Right. The worst department, probably. Yeah, yeah. Right.
And you'll be like, wait a minute. We don't even have it. You're going to be the assistant manager for cutting lawns. We work in a corporate office. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they missed the boat. They should have called this the Milton cutting. Right. Yeah. Like where they Milton you and they keep making you move your desk until you're into.
Oh, right.
The warehouse, right?
Taking care of the roaches.
I don't know if Cheyenne's seen that movie.
You never saw Office Space?
Okay. Office Space.
Oh, no, but I've heard of it, though. That's
you got to watch Office Space.
The Edgecords comes from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So, so my question is actually for Cheyenne. If you were going to quiet quit Jay, what job would you make him do? What would you demote him to?
quiet cut you.
Yeah, so you're gonna give him the worst job until he quits.
By the way, I'm still the CEO
honestly doing the social media.
Oh yeah, that would fun. I'd quit.
You'd be like, that's it, I'm
He's
done.
Like, she got me. Like, look, I'm done.
You got him to quit in one day. Wow. I think that's the point of this, right?
He's so like social media
illiterate.
It's crazy. It's funny because I do a lot of
that
it
makes
now.
Cool of us.
We've gotten a lot of compliments on stuff, which I'm like super proud of. But if you go back, you know, you can see your memories on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'll like go into the Hillbilly Parade memories sometimes and like see what was being posted years ago before I was in the band. And I'm like, you know, it's good thing people like you in person. We were crossing your marketing online, we would not have gotten very far.
At least he tried, though.
Yeah.
Like, I do the same thing, and then Jeremy just pushes me away. And I agree with that. I don't belong touching any of this stuff.
My favorite thing with Jimmy is like, oh, how are we doing on that TikTok thing you released? I'm like, well, pull it up. He's like, I don't know how to get to it.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you, I give him my phone, like a little
You're on kid. The show. It's like my dad. He's like, here, can you get it for me? Can you pull it up? You know?
Yeah. It's my favorite thing when I show up to gigs and I've got a bunch of like I said, 40 plus men. And I'm like, hi, so we're going to do this TikTok. And they're like, what is it mean?
What is a TikTok?
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Just do it.
They're like, are we on the clock? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, we did a really good. What's great is that they do it, which I'm very thankful for, because some of the stuff is like
ridiculous.
Absurd.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm gonna have to bring up a topic.
Go for it.
You want to know why we do it? Because we've learned by now where we've been set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to your significant other. Listen to the better half that knows better. So we try not to argue at this point anymore. We're like, you know what?
Something's working, right?
I've been down this road before, and usually I am wrong. So let me just go with this, and this whatever she says to do, I'll do it. It's easier.
It's true. It's way easier. At a gig, if you want to get all the guys doing something, all you got to do is tell their wives to tell them to do it.
Exactly. 100%.
They're in.
100%.
Right.
Yeah. Well, especially what we looked like last night. I know Christian was not having it for 5 seconds, but he knew. I feel like he knew damn well if he was like, I'm not wearing this, I'd be like, too damn bad. Well, then somebody else is playing.
Yeah. You're doing it.
And I can do that now because we've doubled our back line so that people can have lives.
Yeah. There you
and
go.
So we have two drummers, two bass players, two guitar players. So now that's a fun one.
Except for the front line.
Except
for
Can I get two hosts? Like,
yeah, see, right. It's fun for me.
Jimmy
to be like,
and Yimmy.
Well, like, you don't want to wear the duck hat and Christmas lights to the gig? Okay, someone else can play.
Yeah. And they're going to get paid tonight and you're not.
Correct.
Did you have like a pouty face just for like maybe 2 seconds and then let it go? I would have been like,
there's a
and
video
then just went with it. All right.
A pouty face.
He's like putting the gingham tablecloth on, and Kara, his wife, took a video and you can see his face. He's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. He was pretty, it was dead last night. We played to like nobody, which is wild. It's been a long time since that's happened. But
almost every time we play, it was very painful last night.
Yeah. But. Everyone was secretly, I think, pretty happy they were. Not seen necessarily. Oh, I was fine.
I wanted to be seen. I literally took my shorts off underneath of the stuff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you just took them off.
I was like, HR?
Like, I'm going balls out tonight.
No, I had boxers on, but she was like, don't do that. I'm like, why? I'm like, first of all, they're like almost fleshy colored. I was like, why not? Like, let's just roll with it. You're supposed to look like you're only wearing that. So why am I wearing shorts that you can see?
I appreciate that you committed.
It was everything but clothes. Remember.
I love it.
So
So,
you know, to basically, like, we're coming near the end here, but another question I have is, do you have any advice for people on how to take a passion like music, like what you guys did, or anything else, you know, for that matter?
Art, maybe, you know, whatever they're
into. And turn it into a career the way you guys did. Is there any, like, you know, someone starting out that has a great idea, but you could tell they're, like, very, I don't know if it's going to work. What would be the, like, the single most best advice you would give them?
Like I said, I come from theater background mostly. That was like really where I wanted to go. But my stepdad's a musician too. So I've kind of always been around it. And I've recognized the fact that I'm very privileged and the fact that my parents never were like discouraging. It was always just like, if you want to do it, but you need to work for it. But
I think that's that like, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
but I think the best advice I was ever given is that like, what you think is the right path to get to where you want is not always necessarily the right path. Like it's right. not always A to B. Sometimes it's like A to X and then M and then B. You know what I mean?
Got
so,
it.
Yeah. And like I am living proof of that because never in my life did I think that I would be singing in a country band because I never listened to country music. I on Broadway. Like that was my thing. I was like, how is this leading me to theater? Like there's no way. Right. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life because I'm 12 times the performer and singer I ever was before I was in this band. And it's led me to a lot of other opportunities. And so like when you, the people you meet along the way and who you know along the way, like don't say no to things because you don't think it's the right decision to get to where you want to be.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Really good advice.
I kind of feel the same way. Like, you know, my goal was to be an original band. You know, obviously you and I both did that, shared that same passion, but it was like, I got to a point in my life and I said, well, you know, I still get to play my instrument and sing for people. So what difference does it make whether I'm on a huge stage or I'm at the local bar or the local venue or a wedding or something like that? People are, you know, we play more than touring bands do for the most part because we're year round.
That's crazy. Yeah. You're like on a WWE schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I get to do, and this is Mark, you know, the guy that used to start the band with me. He's like, we literally get to play our instruments and do what we do 3 to 4 times a week. That's more than most people can say. Yeah. You know, most people get a guitar, they get started and they fall back. It's not maybe life took it from them or something, but like if you really just, I think it's just, there's a passion that lies in within some people. And like, I think it's just follow the passion. It's not going to necessarily be maybe the way you thought you'd go.
Yeah.
She came out of nowhere because a friend of a friend knew her and said, hey, I know a band looking for a singer. It might not be the type of music you like, but they work. And sure. She never got to use her voice like she does with us. Yeah. That's for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it helped me move out of my house. Like I was still
living there. There you go.
Yeah.
So, that's so cool. Yeah. Great
the
story.
The goal is not fame. The goal is like to be able to do what you want to do. And, and you know, there are obviously trials and tribulations with like being your own boss. Yeah. And there is something to be said about like, once it becomes work, then it's sometimes hard to keep that passion, but you just got to keep finding the thing that you love about it every time. And that'll keep you going for sure.
I love that. See, we always end with a dick joke or something on this channel. I think that's the real way. Like let's inspire people, right?
The word though.
What
word? I forget what the word was.
Oh, penis.
Is it penis?
Yeah. Wiener, dude.
Wiener. Oh, damn it.
I thought it was.
There you go.
Penis I got to get the wiener in. Wait a minute. Every episode. I've missed the last three. Thanks for reminding me. I'm glad you listened, Jay.
I do. I've heard almost every episode.
People started texting me about that. They're like, don't forget to say wiener when you record this. I'm like, what did I create? This is what I'm going to be known for? Come on.
We got it in.
Yeah. We got you to get it in there.
You got that wiener right in you. No, it didn't. I think we got to end it there, guys.
Yeah. Now we have to end it. You got to cut it.
Well, I mean, thank you so much for joining. Yes. This was a great Amazon Music Day. Really. Should we high five or something? Or
No, not high five. No, there you go.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
We'll do this again soon.
Yes, got it, buddy.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thanks for talking to you guys. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Above My Pay Grade podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Amazon Music. Go to abovemypaygradepodcast.com, click the Amazon Music button, and get notified of new episodes as soon as they hit. Above My Pay Grade is produced by Kilohertz Media. Copyright 2025. Go to abovemypaygradepodcast.com for more info.